Well, good morning, beloved ones. Good morning. Turn to someone and tell them, you look marvelous. You look marvelous. Yes. You look marvelous. Yes. And from my vantage point, you really do. You look fabulous. And I can see all you. And I see all of my people in the upper room. Yes, I got you. Yes. We're blessed to have you here. So, we're sort of continuing with a mini series. And last week, I talked about living an intentional and purposeful life. Remember that? Living with intention and purpose. And that the way to change or transform oneself was by starting to change one's mind. Changing how you think, changing your perceptions, changing your attitudes, and changing what you give your attention to, right? Because whatever you give your attention to will grow and manifest and increase. And so we talked about how to live this way of transformation, of changing oneself, and the challenge that it might bring. And that by being committed, you have to be committed to your transformation. And the importance of being committed to transformation by living with no what? Excuses. By living with no excuses and no distractions. That if you're going to really begin to change an aspect of your being, you're going to have to give up your excuses and you're going to have to give up the distractions of life if you really want to change something about yourself. And I shared a quote from Lao Tzu who said this. He said, if you want to awaken all of humanity, then awaken all of yourself. If you want to eliminate the suffering in the world, then eliminate all the dark and negative places, what? In yourself. He says, truly the greatest gift you have to give is that of your own self-transformation. So we're going to change the world by changing ourselves, right? We're going to change the world by changing ourselves. So having already recognized that we need a change of mind as a part of our formula for transformation, it stands to reason that we would also need a change of heart. Because you can change your mind, but if you haven't changed your heart, nothing's going to happen. So we recognize that this way of transformation involves changing the mind, but it also must involve having a change of heart. Because it's so easy to get stuck in our habits, to get stuck in our head, right? So much so that we actually forget about our heart. We get stuck in there. Turn to somebody and tell them, get out of your head. Get out of your head. Say, get into your heart. Get into your heart. See, we get so stuck in the head that we forget the heart. And, you know, your head's probably saying right now, well, I don't know these people. You know, you might, it's busy analyzing and sizing up everybody, looking around, seeing who's new, right? It's the head is doing its thing. It's judging and categorizing and labeling and analyzing and defining, right? It's doing all of that stuff. So much so that we forget that deeper connection. So what we are about is learning to understand that it's actually the heart that really opens us up to life. The heart gives you an opportunity to really be able to feel that inner connection, that divine connection to life that takes you deep and opens you wide. It moves you beyond just shallow living connecting on a deeper level that just says, well, hi, how you doing? And then we're off. We don't even wait to hear how the person is doing. Hi, how you doing? And gone, right? It enables us to feel that connection so there's a genuine interest, that we see the other as our sacred selves, that we really connect on a deeper level. It's the heart that opens us up to life. Someone said this, what comes out of the heart goes into the heart. I love that statement. What comes out of the heart goes into the heart, meaning that when something is heartfelt, it's because it came out of the heart and we have the ability to feel it, right? So what comes out of the heart goes into the heart. Usually what comes out of the head seldom is heartfelt, right? Most likely when something comes out of the head, it's very rarely that we're going to really feel it. What happens is it goes into our heads, right? We all of a sudden, then again, and we do what the head does. We're going to start to analyze and define and argue. But really, are we actually feeling what is being presented to us? Feeling what is being said to us? Because we're in the head now. So what happens is that when we really forget that it is the heart that is the most valuable aspect that we have, then what happens is we begin to close ourselves off. Because what it is, the heart is our most valuable aspect of our being. It's what really keeps us alive. You've heard me say it all the time that you can be brain dead and still be alive, right? But when you're heart dead, you're dead. Right? When the heart is gone, you're dead. So it is the heart that helps us to feel connected, to feel an aliveness with purpose and meaning. And to feel this depth. So what happens when it's closed? Whenever the heart is closed, or it's wounded, or it's jaded, or it's hardened, we automatically then begin to set ourselves up for heartache, for the feelings of disconnectedness. We walk around sensing that feeling that we're alienated from everybody else. Nobody knows who I am. Nobody understands me. We start looking then for this connection in all the wrong places. We become disconnected spiritually from ourselves and from others and even from God. But thank God that there is an eternal and an internal pulse within each being. There's an internal pulse within the heart that beats for a higher expression. There's the internal call to love, a craving for love, a hungering and thirsting. The Bible says after righteousness, but it's that hungering and thirsting for something deeper in our lives. Haven't you all said there has to be something more than this, right? We're looking for the depths. We're looking for that creation, that connection to life. Love, love, love. Everything that lives wants to be loved. Everything. These plants want to be loved. Right? Science has already proven if they have love, they grow and they thrive. When they're neglected, even if they're fed water and fertilizer, when there's no energy that's directed toward them that speaks to love, they wither. Animals, everything that lives wants to be loved. Even the vilest of persons. Because there's something that's implanted in the soul. There's something in our DNA, our spiritual, physical, mental, emotional DNA that says we must love. Even if it's disguised in a number of ways. Even if we can't recognize it in ourselves or in other people, it is there. Love is the greatest healing and transformative energy that there is. The greatest. It is the divine expression and the givingness of God. And when we tap into it, it begins to do a mighty work. When we just touch a little bit of this divine essence, this divine energy of love, it begins to do a mighty work, from even physically healing a body to restoring relationships to raising and transforming whatever is in the way of receiving this energy, this love. It's powerful stuff. And so when we tap into it, then this work begins to do a great thing, even beyond our own reason, even beyond our own sensibilities, so much so that we might even find ourselves loving our enemies. And we might say, well, how is that possible? Right? We were told we should love our enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. How can I do that? Well, you don't do it at all. It is the essence of divine love flowing in and through you that does its work. And so we've got to tap into this energy that is beyond reason, because nothing will transform us as much as love will. Nothing will heal us as much as love will. Nothing will satisfy the soul as much as love will. So what would it be like to follow the way of the heart? The way of the heart. Psalms 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in God and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I love it. It says, delight yourself. Meaning don't just come to God with a beggar's cup every time you need something, but delight yourself in God and he will give you the desires of your heart. Someone said, Katie said that the desires of your heart is simply God tapping at the door of your consciousness, waiting to give you your desires. You couldn't desire something if it were not for God saying, here, my son, my daughter, I have something. I have my goodness for you. I have my love for you. You think you want it, but it is God impressing that love energy upon you. And so this is a wonderful work, because we could delight ourselves in God, and following this way of the heart has something to do then with God, and it must have something to do with love, right? Because it says also, in 1 John 4 verses 7 and 8, it says this, and this is a familiar one. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then in the familiar, another scripture, it says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love is from God, and anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. And then my favorite, this is a Bible with different translations. My favorite one comes from the Message, because it always puts it in such fun ways. It says, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love him. If you don't love, not even him, if you don't love. I love that. You can't know God if you don't love. I know a lot of people walk around saying, oh, I'm just a child of God. I love everybody. Except for this one, that one. And I include myself, too, because sometimes I have a heart. There's some people I say, I don't know. I just don't know. That means that something's closed off, right? So we have to find a way to tap into this love. How do we begin to learn to love? Helen Schachman says this from the Course in Miracles. She says, the love that we desire is already within us. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. I love that. We don't have to seek for love. You are love. The very essence of God's love dwells within you. She says, so stop looking for it. But what you need to look for, in essence, is all the barriers that you have built up within yourself that keeps you from experiencing it, sharing it, being it, living it. Right? So you've got to find these barriers. Now, I know you might be thinking, who in their right mind would build a barrier against love? Well, we do. We do it all the time. We do it especially every time we are fearful of being vulnerable. To truly be vulnerable, you have to be open-hearted, right? You can't be vulnerable and be, you've got to be open-hearted. To be vulnerable, you have to be have this ability to say that, you know, I'm ready to experience whatever it is my, whatever's mine to experience. I'm ready to greet you in the name of love. I'm ready to let you into my life and into my being. You see, what happens is if we're honest, we would admit that we really are afraid of being hurt. How many of you have been hurt? We've all been hurt. And it causes us to maybe close down a little bit. If we're honest, we have to say that we are a little fearful of being taken advantage of. If I just am so open-hearted, people are going to do what? Take advantage of me. We're afraid of being exposed. If I'm open-hearted, I might be too exposed. You might see too much of who I really am. You might see my flaws. You might see my faults. You might see all of my insecurities. You might see the places where I am showing up as less than. And so I need to shield and cover myself. And so we unconsciously build walls. Walls that supposedly provide protection and security. A false sense of protection and security. And so we shield and protect ourselves and our hearts from feeling vulnerable by closing it off. If I close it off and shut it down, I'm safe. But if you truly want to be transformed, if you truly want to be empowered, if you truly want to be comfortable in your own skin, then try following the way of the heart, the way of the heart that is open and willing to be vulnerable. See, the miraculous thing that happens is instead of losing yourself, you actually gain yourself, you find yourself. When you're willing to be open and vulnerable, you find something deep and marvelous and precious within yourself. You actually unleash this creative energy, this transformative energy that comes from vulnerability, that comes from the heart. How many of you have seen Yana Van Sant's Yana Fix My Life? You know what? I said that show is first of all, it's pure anointing on her part. Because what she does is she goes right in there. And she gets that heart, right? She gets those places where we are most vulnerable and brings it right out so we can look at it, so that we can feel it, so that we can see it, and then heal it and transform it. I've watched her heal people right in the midst of that television show because they were willing to be open and vulnerable. And if she had to dig, she would dig. I said, I'm afraid to have her go fix my life, boy. Woo! Woo! But there's an anointing there. There's an anointing there, you see. And so there's something very powerful about our being willing to be open. You can't be healed if you're not open. So we're going to work on that aspect of being vulnerable and being safe. You are safe and secure in the arms of Spirit. You are the beloved of God. Everything, every facet of your being is already known by the divine. And God would not suffer anything to move, to touch you, to harm you on a soul level. So we'll work on that part. The other barrier, another barrier, I think, to love is our tendency to take offense. Because when we are easily offended, we then once again wall off or close our hearts to the said offender. Right? Even if it's just for a while. My feelings are hurt, so, you know. I was out golfing on my birthday weekend, and, you know, one of my fellow golfers said something, and it offended me. It hurt me. And so I shut down, and then I shot nothing the rest of the day. You understand? I was in my own way, couldn't then hit nothing because I was hurt and offended. That was my doing. See, so we have to look at, well, are we easily offended? Because what it does is when we are, it begins to make it difficult for us to then connect with the other person, the other individual. I didn't know this individual, really. And I made up my mind I wasn't going to get to know him. Right? Made up my mind I didn't like him. Now, meanwhile, I don't really know anything about her. One comment made me make a judgment, made me put her in a box. Right? Walled myself off from her so that I could say, hey, this is what we do. You know, I always share with you all of my humanity. But thank God I also have an ability to step back and see myself. See my actions and become aware of, okay, Sylvia, that is not the way you want to be. That's not the way I want my heart to be. So we need to look at, how we are affected by others. Can you imagine what it would be like if nothing ever offended you? Wow, what state of mind would you be in? It would be a powerful state of mind if nothing ever offended you. That would be a powerful place to be, because what happened is you would then be free to love no matter what the conditions and what the circumstances. You would find that you would not be able to find fault. You would not be able to judge another. You wouldn't even have to worry about forgiveness, forgiving the offendee or offender, because there would be nothing in you to forgive. You wouldn't have to work through that process. You would have the ability to simply observe the actions of others without judgment or taking any of it personally. See, when we take offense, what we do is we inadvertently then take on that other person's behavior and actions as if they were ours. We interject ourselves into their beingness instead of simply allowing whatever it is that they're saying, doing, being to simply be theirs. Of course, if it's physical harm, I always say, you use wisdom. Get out of. You don't allow that. No, I have to say that because sometimes people will come up to me and they'll say, well, you said I should allow that. No. You have wisdom. You can allow them to be, but not necessarily to harm you. And so we learn to do this. We acknowledge their feelings. We keep it real. But you keep centered and focused on your ability to radiate love. If you can stay present to that energy, if you can concentrate upon that task of your ability to simply remain in the presence and in the power of love, then everything else will begin to fall into place. The transforming energy of love will right every wrong. Now, I know that sounds like a little cliche, but it's true. It is absolutely true. You don't have to do the writing. Divine justice and mercy and love rights every wrong at the right time and in the right way. You allow God to do the work. Your job is to love. So as we begin to uncover our personal barriers that we have erected in our lives, we also want to be able to be proactive and to practice cultivating a few things that we can do. So if we're going to follow this path, this way of the heart, we have to be able to cultivate gratitude. Because a grateful heart opens us up. A grateful heart expands us to such a degree that the floodgates of heaven begin to pour forth blessings upon us. It's very powerful. Gratitude expands and fills the soul with more and more of God's goodness. And so we should find something to be extremely great, not just a little, but extremely grateful for every day. And not just, oh, thank you, God, for this, but feeling and being in a state of gratitude every single day, that we should allow ourselves to bask in it, allow our hearts to begin to overflow with this feeling of gratitude, because this feeling of gratitude is a vibration. This feeling of gratitude is a vibration that is an attracting force, and it will begin to attract to you, to draw to you the things that are yours, the goodness of God, the blessings that you're seeking, just by being grateful and full of gratitude, not even for things, just because you begin to vibrate and the universe begins to bless. It's very powerful. And so we want to practice gratitude. Cultivate that. Cultivate compassion. Because compassion is also a high sign of our spiritual development. Compassion is a sign, and it's the apex of our humanity. Because if we cannot feel for one another, we cannot evolve as a species. It's just plain and simple. If we can't feel for another, each other, we will not evolve as a species. That's kind of where we are right now. The value of human life is nil for most people. I can't feel for you. I don't recognize you as my brother, as my sister, so therefore I can annihilate you. But if I were to feel your presence, if I was to feel you as myself, I could not harm you. I couldn't do any harm to you. I'd have to lift you up. This is what I love. This is a quote that someone said, because the heart directs us toward tuning into our feelings. We've forgotten how to feel. You know, we really have. But someone said this. Mary Sheen said, Shelley said this. She said, you cannot know what you cannot feel. You can't know what you can't feel. You can't know love if you can't feel love. You can't know peace if you can't feel peace. Right? You can't know harmony if you can't feel harmony. You can't know another if you can't feel the other. Sometimes people will say, oh, I know him, I know her. If you know them and you don't feel them, you don't know them. You don't know them at all. If you can't feel another's heart, then all of a sudden you won't have the ability to know that person. Because we all have things that make us vulnerable. So the question is, can you feel another's heart? Can you feel their desires? Can you feel their pain? Can you feel their longing to belong? Can you feel their need to be heard and acknowledged and valued, right? And accepted? Because that's all we all want. Everybody wants the very same thing. The person that's making the bomb, the person that's feeding the poor, we all want the same thing, to belong, to be loved, to be acknowledged. And so we might disguise it in certain ways because sometimes we think we're fearful to express it. I can't really tell you that I just want your love. Can you share that with me? That's too vulnerable for me to say I love you. So I'll come at it through the back door. I can't say to you, I really need to feel valued by you. So I'll do some other thing, like a little child. You know, when children want our attention, what? They don't know how to do it, so they act up and they do all kinds of stuff. And we think, oh, what a bad little boy, a bad little girl. That's love seeking to be expressed and needed to be shared and felt. We all want that same thing. We've got to be able to feel one another's love. Turn to someone and say, I feel you. I feel you. I feel you. I feel you. You know, most of us get uncomfortable. You ever notice that? When we look into each other's eyes and somebody wants to say, I feel you, or I love you, we get, oh. There's something not right about that. We are meant and have been created to feel one another. Did you know this? This is what I uncovered in some reading that I had from a little book that was given to me. It said that if you place two living heart cells from two different people in a petri dish, that they will in time find and maintain a third and common heartbeat. A third and common beat. You take two living heart cells from two different people, put them in a dish together, and they will eventually find that one common beat. That's powerful stuff. That says that in our DNA, we have been created to feel our oneness with each other. That we may be separate hearts, but really there's only one presence and one power in the universe, in all of us, that is meant to beat as one. It's powerful stuff. So now is the time, friends, for us to practice being more open-hearted, kind-hearted, tender-hearted, light-hearted, for this is the opening of the heart and the mind to transform the world, and the energy that we're seeking is to be together. The scripture says, keep thine heart with all thy diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all thy diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And for the most part, the majority of our issues, whether it is between warring countries or issues with our family, issues with friends or colleagues or even strangers passing on the street or driving in the car, all of our issues, if we break them down to their basic level, shows our inability to feel one another, to feel our connectedness. So when we can recognize another's pain, the floodgates of our own heart will begin to open up, and love, that divine love, will begin to come forth, and it will then seek that common beat. See, we can't do it because we might say, I have nothing in common with you. I don't have anything in common with you. Oh, but we do. We're beating with the same heart. We're beating with the heart of God's love that created all of life, of which we all are a part. There is no separation in the creation of God. We are one. And when we come to that recognition, we will begin to breathe and to beat as one. Let the heart flower. Start living in joy, living in, you know, love, living and loving your life, because we were created to do that. That's the way of the heart of transformation. So I'm going to extend an invitation. I'm going to ask, will you come and jump into the Petri dish with me so we can find that common beat? Can you feel me? I feel you. Namaste. Blessings. 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 Namaste. Blessings.